In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of our favorite family stories comes from our youngest son's days in preschool. He had a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Beale, who taught the children to treat each other fairly, share their toys, and be polite. Well, one day during playtime, Mrs. Beale was surprised to feel someone tugging on her skirt. She looked down and saw Grayson, my son's best friend, tears streaming down his cheeks. Alarmed, she asked, "Grayson, what's the matter?" Between sobs, he struggled to say, "You ruined my life." Mrs. Beale was puzzled. What had she done? "How did I ruin your life?" she asked. "You told me I had to share." Our son doesn't remember exactly what happened, but he thinks it might have involved plastic teacups. Whether it's plastic teacups or messiahs, we human beings simply do not like to share. After his baptism, Jesus returned to Galilee, his home country, and began to teach in the area synagogues, eventually making his way back to his hometown. And when the Sabbath rolled around, he attended the synagogue there in Nazareth and was asked to read from the scroll of Isaiah and offer commentary. So Jesus chose a passage from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus began his teaching by making this incredible claim: "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That's where today's gospel reading opened. We heard that the people of Nazareth loved this teaching. They complimented Jesus. They hoped he really would encourage their poor people, heal their blind people, and free them from their government's oppression. Maybe they were a little patronizing when they said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" But then, after this initially warm reception, things started to go south. Jesus got kind of prickly and threw out a couple of barbs, like, "A prophet is never welcome in his hometown." And then he started to sound almost un-Israeli, when he invoked a couple of Bible stories. Jesus made the provocative point that long ago, when Israel was suffering a 3-year drought and famine, God sent the prophet Elijah to help, but only to help a starving widow in Sidon, north of the border, and she wasn't even Jewish. And in the other story, Jesus points out that out of all the lepers in Israel, and there were many, the prophet Elisha only cured one. And he was a Syrian, an enemy. In fact, Naaman was a general in the Syrian army. Those stories infuriated the audience. This upstart son of Joseph was telling them he was God's anointed, but not sent just for them, not sent just for Israel. Jesus was telling them they were going to have to share. And since these were grown-ups and not children, they didn't cry. They got mad. So mad, they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. Surrounded by this angry mob, Jesus seems to perform a kind of Jedi mind trick. He passed right through the crowd and went on his way. But the conflict wasn't over. It was only beginning. Jesus had struck at the heart of their national pride and was meddling with their favorite prejudice, that the one God was their God. Just like Grayson thought, that plastic teacup was his plastic teacup. Human selfishness is rooted in fear. Fear there isn't enough, fill in the blank, to go around. Fear there isn't enough God for everyone, as though God's love, healing, and freedom are somehow finite. This mindset of scarcity was not unique to the people in Jesus' hometown. It's a problem in every human heart. As Yoda famously said, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. In the course of his ministry, Jesus aroused fear and anger and hate by refusing to fulfill people's expectations, by disregarding religious conventions, by embracing people on the margins of society, by opening the kingdom of God to all people. Until the day came when the Roman authority, the native leadership, and the populace all conspired together to make him suffer and die. Christians are called to a different path. God would have us hand over all the plastic teacups we are clutching in our hearts. We are called to let go of our fears, our anger, our hate. But God does not expect us to do this without help. God of all beings understands human limitations, which is why God sent us a helper, an advocate, who is the very Spirit of God living in us. And as we read in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I would add, self-control not as domination of our will over our feelings, that's a dead end, but as a virtue cultivated by spiritual practices and by the Holy Spirit, a virtue that frees us from acting out of our fear and anger and hate. This virtue is one our world and each of us desperately needs. So we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.